Starting tomorrow, I'm no longer just a shipping clerk. I'm chairman of the board.
And it's all because of...
Freaking.com.
Recording is on. Okay, you are recording.
Okay, there we go. Okay, now we can speak freely because we're being recorded.
Well, yeah, we're being recorded, but knowingly this time.
You were in the middle of telling me something about the developments this week in New Hampshire independence. So I'll stop interrupting you.
So we had our deadline passed last week to get the sign off, get all our co-sponsors on. We ended up with 9 sponsors altogether. We had 1 drop out. Otherwise, we could have made the full 10. But we have the full list, and I'll just go ahead and give them to you. They are available on the General Court website. If you look up the LSR and sponsors, they keep that updated. That works for any of them. So this is currently listed as LSR 2022-2243. And I am prime sponsor. We also have Representative Dennis Green, Scott Wallace, Dustin Dodge, Ray Howard, William Foster, Peter Tarosian, Matthew Santanastasso, and Glenn Bailey. So those are the folks that boldly stepped up to put their name out there in public. And, you know, I think for some of them, it might be just a question of this being a constitutional amendment. Let's let the voters have their say and, you know, whether or not they fully support an actual secession or independence. That's a kind of a separate question, but certainly it is a question that should be answered by the citizens and not just the legislators.
Well, we'd have the BBC here and Al Jazeera and Deutsche Welle and the whole shebang. I mean, it would be a huge news thing around the world if we did this, just having it on the ballot.
Sure. I think it'd be a great thing and you know, get people thinking some more about this. So in one of the follow-on effects for some of this is I was contacted by an organization known as the National Association of Former State Legislators. And this legislator that I talked to is down in Florida. He had heard about this constitutional amendment of ours, and it struck them as something that they're kind of interested in. And kind of an interesting group. We talked for a little bit because they are former state legislators. They are free of the whole having to run for office and, you know, toe the line for various other bodies. They're a little more free to kind of think about things as they should be. So they're pretty focused on kind of balanced federalism, state sovereignty, and representative governance. And really, they're looking at states' rights, nullification. So we had a pretty good talk, and you know, kind of getting down to some of the real things, and we see this here in New Hampshire again with the this $27 million bribe to get us to lock ourselves into this vaccine registry and whatever they're doing with the various vaccine mandates. So, you know, the way that it's done is through money, and everybody's always looking for free money. And every time you sign on for free money, you are signing on to these agreements to continue doing whatever it is that they've got the strings attached. So this group, National Association of Former State Legislators, is very aware of the problem of money coming out of the federal government. They're also looking at the way that state senators are elected, whereas you know, there was a previous system that was left us with some more independence. They are looking, because what was it, the 27th Amendment that or the 17th? I haven't looked those up, but when state senators, senators elected by the states were elected by the population of the state, it took away the concept of having senators representing the state instead of just being another representative of the people. So one of the things that they've got going on, I think there is one state that is proposing to have their Senate candidates, U.S. Senate candidates, nominated by their state legislature, so that they would still go to the general election, but they would be nominated. And of course, each party would pick their own nominee through their state legislatures. So kind of an interesting workaround for that that federal system that is currently broken, as far as I can see.
Well, what's that saying? When you've been hacking at a root for a while, everything else starts to look like a branch.
Yeah.
Hi, Shana.
Hi, guys. I don't have any news. I heard somebody referring to the executive council meeting that's scheduled for tomorrow morning, and I'm planning to go.
Yeah, that's a situation where the government is running away from the people, trying to hide. That institution sits at the end of a dead end road. Yeah, that is, of course, you know, these things are problematic. Obviously, when the government fears the people, maybe we're having a little more influence than we might think. But yeah, you know, this really started when you started having the courts locked down and, taking away a person's right to keep and bear arms when they go to the courthouse. Jurors, you know, equally denied their rights. Heck, they're denied their rights to access information. You know, you go into the jury or the grand jury, certainly the grand jury, they didn't allow even a telephone. There is absolutely no way that you were going to contact the outside world. That is not the way that our system is supposed to be designed. And you know, just another sign that, I don't know, maybe they're losing their grips. But that's all, you know, that's all a bit of a different issue. So on the independence front, we are going forward. We've got the bill signed off. We've got our sponsors. So now it's just a matter of you know, starting to drum up support. These various rallies that people go to, and they're you know, locked away from by their government. You know, part of that, and part of particularly tomorrow's bit, is this federal money that's throwing chains around our necks. We need to separate from that and perhaps find our own way to fund government.
I read something not too long ago. Somebody wrote a really good article about that there are lots of ways for states to raise money without doing a state income tax. I was happy to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with I'm not a huge cryptocurrency supporter, but certainly state assets could be monetized if there are, you know, if we're going to have such thing as state assets. I know that if you look at any town's property maps, you'll find that DOT owns an awful lot of land, land that cannot be built on for perhaps those who would choose to have some, you know, affordable land to build on. And there is, of course, the whole issue of zoning and property rights being denied without particularly good cause. But once again, that's not a federal issue, that one we're imposing upon our own people.
So can I go back a moment? The National Association of Farmers.
Shina, you're a little bit soft.
Oh, sorry. I'll speak up. Does that help?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll talk as loud as I can. It starts to feel like shouting. I wanted to ask, you said that someone from Florida contacted you, Mike, from the National Association of Former State Legislators. Did you get a sense or information from him whether the group was interested in our movement, or was it just his personal interest?
No, I think it is definitely the group. Of course, they're a fairly new group, so they're building up and looking to get more states on board. It sounds like they have just a few members at this point, so they're just kind of starting out, but they are definitely interested in the issue. If you look at their website, it's not a super great website, but it's got enough information there that you'll get a sense of what they're looking to do. So I think that they are probably talking to California and Texas also, and perhaps some other states.
So this is a kind of a category that I have a great interest in. I don't know what I would do about it or whether I'm the right one. I think I'm probably not. About ally groups. I just heard about, today I just learned that there's a group called Police for Freedom, for instance, which I had never heard of. You know, against the current tyranny, not necessarily for separation, but also the U.S. Freedom Flyers that's just getting public or publicized more. I don't know if these groups might be of some use because they're very, very unhappy with the current state of affairs and the trajectory that's going on.
Yeah, I would imagine so. There's a lot of people from a lot of various, it's not, you know, just the Trumpers that are outraged. When you start calling parents that go to school board meetings terrorists, you're really hitting into a segment of society that usually is not at all part of really keeping an eye on government. Perhaps with the lockdowns over the past year and a half, they've had a little bit of time to get their eyes open and see what's really going on and start getting involved. I know that certainly we have members of our New Hampshire legislature who were inspired by the tyranny that started with all this lockdown stuff. They were never political and got motivated, so they've joined in. So it's I guess the harder they squeeze, the more sand that escapes their fists. So,
so you could make a great song out of this, Mike. We could call it "Soccer Moms with Daisy Cutter Bombs."
Yeah, there you go, Ridley. We're going to put you in charge of the entertainment, also.
Yes. Funny songs. We need funny songs as well.
Yeah, I mean, you do need to mock those who are just absolutely out of their minds.
It'd be right up there with "Help, Help, Alert, Alert, We Were Under Attack, Lag, Burning Hippies," which was a song in the 90s.
I missed that one.
It's just it's flag burning hippies. It's "Help, Help, Alert, Alert, We Were Under Attack with Flag Burning Hippies."
So the only other thing that I had was the piece that Alu wrote about a certain representative who was fighting back against those insurrectionists that might divide New Hampshire from the central hub of D.C. I think there was another piece, might have been NH Journal, that picked that up and wrote about that pretty recently. It might have been just yesterday or today.
I will add that to our media coverage thread, if I can find it.
Okay. I think it was NH Journal. Seemed to be from there. I forget where I got it. Probably on my text alerts.
Carol, looks like Carolyn Borshenko just interviewed Allo for her podcast, which is pretty popular. I think she's in Bedford.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
Let's see. So there is also a state rep who has, Alu emailed him, and Alu reports that he emailed the following message back to independence activist Alu Axelman of New Hampshire. Quote, "I have sworn an oath to defend the U.S. Constitution against all enemies. I would absolutely support any federal effort to crush any state that attempts to dissolve the union. Sent from my iPhone," unquote.
Yeah, I believe that was Representative at Large.
Well, that is who Alu said sent this message, and I contacted Representative Allard to find out if he confirmed that he really said that, and he did not respond to me. It's been about 5 days.
Okay. So the one that was it was indepthnh.org that had that piece. So apologies for getting that wrong.
All right, fog of war. Hopefully, without the war.
Yes. Well, war of words, maybe. But certainly don't need any violence or that sort of thing.
Certainly not.
That's usually the control mechanism of government anyway, is if there's a war to be fought, there's profits to be made, and we don't need anyone making profits. At least not government types.
Right, that's a good reminder.
I believe there is more news, but I'm having to draw it, to pull it up on the forum. I forget some of what has been going on. You usually are the best source of news, Mike, I guess.
Well, you know, we're between, you know, the filing and getting things started, and it'll be the build up to whenever it is that we have our hearing. So really now it's a matter of, continuing for those folks who are doing the flyering, hitting these events and making sure everybody knows about it. Spread it around, and go ahead.
I guess Ian, Shana, and Bonnie and Alu were able to make it to that big one on October 2nd, reportedly flyered like 80% of the people that were there, and there may have been about 1,000 people there.
And I think everybody had an opportunity for a flyer that day.
Good. I think that this idea of marrying these street protests with the independence movement is going to be key. Anytime I see one of these and it doesn't have anything to do with independence or independence isn't there, I feel like, oh my gosh, it's branch hacking. It's how can we get them to help us strike the root? And how can we help them? But it looks like that is happening to some extent. I bet we're going to have a lot of missed opportunities. It sounds like you're going to keep the executive council from being a missed opportunity. Thank you, Jana.
Yeah, I've heard of other groups that'll be heading up there for that.
Yes.
But of course, you know, you're in the canyon, so they can easily rope you in, which is unfortunate. You know, they put these things out there, as you know, Ridley, to make sure you have to get there in a motor vehicle, and the motor vehicle is a lovely tracking device.
Well, the other thing is that this the Association of Former Legislators you know, I've been wanting to see some kind of organization that can help, you know, draw all the independence movements together in some form or fashion, right? We don't have that right now. There's no place where they're all kind of talking together in one spot on the internet or anything like that. And if there were a conference, that would probably be something that would only happen once a year anyway. But this National Association of Former Legislators sounds like it could be an organization that might be able to bring all the independence movements together in the state. I don't know if they have enough power being so new.
Yeah, I get the sense they're kind of young. They were waiting for someone like Alec to kind of take up the issue of state rights, but decided to do it on their own. And of course, I have not been a member of any of the national organizations for legislators other than Young Americans for Liberty. Just a personal choice, and they seem, you know, kind of tied to the establishment, so I tend to avoid the big ones.
Looks like we're going to reach a positive milestone in New Hampshire next month, and that all of the political prisoners I know of held by the feds from New Hampshire will be out as of the end of next month, if all goes as planned, because Jerry DeLamis is supposed to come home.
Yeah, I saw that. It's certainly good news. I don't know the details of how or why he's being sent back home, but it's certainly good that he will be freer.
Well, they're saying he's going to need medical attention. He probably hasn't been getting it for 6 years.
Yeah. That is a shame. And, of course, his wife is currently a state rep, Sue DeLamis.
Ian Freeman, our other activist who's not here today, was denied his request for having his ankle bracelet removed as he awaits trial from feds on Bitcoin-related charges.
It's not surprising.
Yeah, but, you know, they haven't sent a drone through any Liberty activist's window since March. So, you know, day 180 and counting, or something roughly. There is an October 16th NH Independence Social scheduled in Merrimack, apparently. And that will be probably at the Ebenezer Brewery. That's
Ebenezer, yeah.
Oh, I know. I think it's in the early afternoon. I think I heard 1 p.m., but I can't find confirmation on that. Apparently, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence Signal Group has the details, but I don't see anything posted like on the net.
Yeah, I think we're a little scattered. I am off of Facebook, so that still seems to be kind of a hub.
Scattered at least means no central point of failure.
Right.
I saw that notice, and I can't remember where I saw it. I think it's all over Telegram.
Okay, it's probably on the NH Exit Telegram, too. Yeah. So how are you doing, Shayna, on you were trying to get, like, a proper URL to put on all those flyers? Any progress there?
No progress.
Okay. Nope. That's not something to complain about, considering how much other progress you've made.
Well, I was basically told to shut up and chill. That things were underway. So I'm just writing in whatever I can. I have not, I would really like to become clear about what's the point of the .com, what's the point of the .org, what's the point of the .us. Russell has this wonderful list of the stuff that he puts information out on that he keeps up with. And I would love so much if we could get that onto the nhindependence.org, but I haven't made any progress on that at all.
Oh, yeah, I think that's going to be banging your head against a wall. I mean, they're a 501c3. They're going to act like a 501c3, which means they're going to be more credible, but like they're not going to do anything. So, I mean, at least they haven't in 5 years that I know of. So I think, yeah, we have to just take other paths. And, you know, do you have any ideas for me related to nhexit.com? Because that's the only one I control.
I do have some ideas. I'd rather not do it, take up the time on the recording, but we could talk after maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the way it's worked out is okay. I mean, nhexit.us looks good. It's filling the web role that nhindependence.org probably used to or would have if it was active. And, you know, we just have each person kind of doing their own thing, and that really does create a decentralization that's useful. I'm just all I'm doing is just linking to the Facebook group for NHExit. That way, at least when people go to NHExit.com, they'll see something recent, even if I haven't done anything.
Yeah, so that was my point about NHIndependence.org, is that I haven't looked in the last few days, the last week, but the most recent post up there is from January. You know, and that doesn't really look very encouraging. So, you know, I'm writing on the flyers, but that's not my strongest suit at the moment. Anyway, we're doing everything we can. And I have to say the reception to the idea of secession, and I'm using the word secession now because that's what people are using to me. You know, the citizens, the protesters, they were all saying, oh, you mean secession? And I'll say yes. And they're all for it. So I'm becoming convinced that that's not a bad word in New Hampshire at the moment.
Well, I have tried to back Mike's play by not using it much. there are rare occasions when it has to be used. But I like what Russell Canning used to say. You know, this was probably 15 years ago. Like, he ran a little paper, you know, out of Keene. And he's like, okay, so we go to the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers meeting, and we interview everyone there and ask them if they're for or against New Hampshire independence. And the only people who were afraid to say they were for it were the Free Staters. all the people who already lived here and all the politicians who already lived here were in favor of it.
That's too funny.
But the free staters, you said you could just see the cogs turning and their eyes would go to the upper right as they were trying to decide the political implications of things. It was the ones like us who were supposed to be the radicals that came from outside who were all afraid to talk about it. But now no one's afraid to talk about it, apparently.
Yeah, it's one of those words that it will stick forever, but apparently it's not as dirty a word now as sometimes in the past.
I listened to an interview of Daniel Miller from the Texas Nationalist Movement. I don't remember how recent it was, but he claimed that they had a poll that shows Texas independence winning if it gets on the ballot.
Hmm. Well.
Say that again, Dave.
Oh, Daniel Miller, president of the Texas Nationalist Movement, he's probably the most, probably the top five most credible independence activists in the country, says that there is a poll that indicates that he thinks it almost proves that Texas will go independent if independence does get on the ballot.
Oh, that's good.
But I don't know the details about the poll. Maybe it's just a poll like our union leader poll, which is not really seems not scientific, and we just we can't go with that. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
That reminds me, somebody was talking about doing something about polling.
I am sorry to inform you that was the
Foundation for New Hampshire Independence people. However, maybe they'll get going and do it. But I just haven't heard a peep out of them in the last month or two.
Well, I heard a peep, but it wasn't helpful, so I won't name any names.
Okay. But the discussions got pretty advanced in terms of how that poll would be handled, and I think they've gotten far enough to determine that they would want to have St. Anselm's University do it, like using their Institute on Politics or something at St. A's?
I don't know. Would that be something that you might be willing to follow up on? It seems like we're now not quite halfway through October, and if we're trying to drum up support for the hearing, I seem to remember Mike suggested it might take place in January. Is that?
Yeah, January or February, depending on how quickly they want to throw it at us. Probably try and find a storm moving in that they can schedule the meeting for the hearing for.
So unless the leadership of their political institute has changed, I would be considered persona non grata at their institute. So because I was part of a demonstration at that building. Wasn't really a demonstration. I was just trying to ambush interview Federal Reserve officials. nothing major. Nothing to see here. But they really didn't like us being there. And then I confronted the guy that runs the institute on talk radio later on. They and I don't have a very tight relationship. I've been here so long that I've had plenty of chances to make enemies. So I don't know if I'd be the best person. Now, if they've got a different person running it, then maybe. But I'm not sure I should be playing good cop with that particular institution.
Well, do we know? I don't know who on our team was working with them. That maybe we could follow up with one of our people.
I thought it was Carla at first, but I think she's trying to like eject from the process, and she's handed it over to Amanda Johnson. So I thought that Amanda might be following up on the poll, and she may have. You know, she may have done some cool stuff, but I don't. I just haven't heard anything about it.
Well, we don't know. Okay.
Yeah. You know how to contact Amanda?
No.
Okay, I will try to get her contact information to you or yours to her or something like that.
Okay.
And you'd be great for interacting with the institute. But I feel bad not, you know, taking on more of a load myself.
Well, you know, I'm not the one to be interacting with local people because I'm not local.
Okay, well, you've been here so long that I thought you were now, so...
I know, everybody forgets.
You're local enough. I mean, you're the ones going to all these events. So, yeah, but the poll probably is the thing that could happen next and kind of is starting to become time-sensitive.
So how long does a poll take to set it up and do it and get results that we could... around?
I don't know.
Okay.
Would not know. I would wonder if there's a possibility that some other organization might do one and attempt to skew it in a particular direction to kind of form consensus against the proposition.
There is some degree of hostility and animosity between certain elements of the Liberty Movement and the university. But I just don't know how important that is when it was just, you know, they were angry at the 10 of us that were there. It doesn't necessarily mean they're angry at Carla Garrick or Amanda Johnson. They're going to skew their results or whatever. They were the ones that came up with the idea of St. A's.
Right, I wasn't thinking of exactly them, but perhaps some other outfit.
Well, yeah, and it's possible. You know, I might actually it's possible I have that wrong. They might have been talking about a different university, but I thought it was St. A's. It just may have been one of the options, but I'll try to start following up on that poll thing, at least talk about it some and see what I can find out from some of the people that were named most recently.
That sounds like a good idea. And also, right. Somebody said something about a possible other group, and I thought, well, I wonder if there might be other groups that might be interested in conducting their own polls, you know, patriot-type groups that might be becoming much more interested in this independence movement, considering what's going on and all the assaults that are already been happening against our rights and our freedoms. That's Ian, what Mike was suggesting.
Ian Freeman has reported that the leader of the October 2nd protest, which was the record setter, I guess, sort of.
New Hampshire Health Freedom, right?
Yeah, Therese, I think it's Grinnell. I can't remember her last name. I think it's Grinnell, the nurse who led that thing. She has gotten on board, and she is going to be trying, I guess, to bring NH Independent speakers to their events.
Yes, Dave. Therese Grinnell is the nurse that started the Concord Corner demonstrations outside Dartmouth Hitchcock in Concord. She was not the organizer of that event. I believe that was New Hampshire Health Workers or something like that. I think more along the lines of Julie Smith. But I know that Therese was there, she was vocal, and she's very active and she's very effective. But she wasn't the leader.
Okay, so I had that wrong, and sorry for that error.
Okay. I just don't want to encourage that idea to keep going.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. So your point was that she has... she has taken my suggestion to heart that trying to fix things is not going to work and that independence is a good direction. So, yes. And she would be very happy to have Mike come whenever the next rally is. She's eager to welcome him if he's willing to come out and talk to whoever shows up.
Yep. Well, let me know the date.
And yeah, don't be shy about delegating, Mike, since you've already got right. So much on your plate. A lot of different people can give a speech if you're starting to get behind.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
It would be funner to have you get the glory.
yeah, that's what I'm looking for, glory.
The soft spoken Mike Sylvia glory.
Yeah.
Well,
I think we have covered things for the week.
I can't think of anything else to bring up.
All right.
I'm good.
If you want, Shayna, I can shut down the recorder after Mike leaves, and you and I can talk about whatever questions you had for me.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. I will bail out and talk to you next week. Take care.
Okay. Bye, Mike.
Bye.
Okay, I don't know how to close the recorder without, let's see. Okay, stop recording. Bye, everybody. Oh, and there was something you missed at the beginning. There was something we talked about at the beginning that you all missed who are listening on the recording. I'm trying to remember what that is. Oh, I guess we've reached 9 state reps officially that got in before the deadline. And so this bill has 9 state reps written down right next to it as sponsors and co-sponsors. So. That's pretty good. The maximum allowed is 10. And I'm stopping my recording now.
What are you arresting this man for?
You've seen the dramatic liberty arrests in Keene, New Hampshire. Now see 111 reasons why you should move there and reinforce these gutsy activists. Keene's advantages are compelling, and the list of reasons to move has just been updated. For details, visit freekeen.com.